We're on Daf Chaf Dalet Amud Aleph, approximately 15 lines or a bit less from the top of the Amud. Boy Minei, a question was asked by Rav Yosef Bereder of Nechunya Bereder Rav Yehuda. He asked the question of Rav Yehuda, Shnayim Sheyishenim B'mita Achas, two people are sleeping naked in a bed, and there's some sort of gias basar, their flesh are touching one the other. Mahu shezeyachzir ponav yikra kriyishma vezeyachzir ponav yikra kriyishma, is enough that they turn away from each other, so that their backs are touching each other, and then each one could recite kriyishma. Now again, if you'll ask me why are two people sleeping naked in a bed, apparently that was necessary back in the day. They didn't have necessarily pajamas the way we have it. And if you ask me what exactly is the suffix here, then we would say the following. If they're facing each other, then we have to be choshesh for hirhur, for the wrong thoughts. It's going to be very, very difficult to imagine reciting Kriyat Shema if they're facing each other naked. But if we're talking about turning away from each other, then there's a possibility that there won't be hirhur, and you would be allowed to recite Kriyat Shema. Again, they will soon see that the erva has to be covered. Now, if you look at Rashi, Dibra Maschil Afilu, and please remind me if you can at the end of the Shia that we didn't do Tosis Dibra Maschil Vaha, and that attaches to the sugi that we completed in the last Shia. But in any event, Rashi seems to indicate here that the suffek of the Gemara is only if he and both of them are machzir panav, and there won't be a chashash of hirur machmas negia. Now, what about ishto? So in our text it says, shnayim yoshvim, or yeshenim, excuse me, b'mita achas. There is one girsa that says afilu ishto imo, but Rashi seems to remove that girsa, and it could be possible, and we'll have to analyze this as we go through the sugyan, especially the poskim, that if it's ishto imo, then the halacha might be more strict as far as erva inside a bed at the time of Kriyat Shema. Now, if you take a look at Rashi, Afilu Ishto Imo, you'll see, at least if you have my shas, you have a beis there, which refers to the Hagos Vitziyunim. And what the Rashash does is, he takes these words, Afilu Ishto Imo, and he attaches it to the previous Rashi, which was a sugya that we did earlier, regarding Rava, and where his tefillin were, and paskining Halacha L'maisa like Shmuel, that even if ishto imo, nevertheless, he's allowed to put his tefillin under merashosav with all the conditions that we discussed yesterday. So leave out those words, afilu ishto imo, because according to our Gemara, if Rabbi Yehuda responded by saying, in the name of Shmuel Mutter, afilu ishto imo, then we have this kula that even though he and his wife are both naked under the blankets in a bed, then they're allowed to be, under certain circumstances, recite Kriyat Shema. That's going to be, as we see in the Hemshech HaSugya, that's going to be a problem. So let's go back to the suffix. Rav Yosef presents a question to Rav Yehuda, and he's talking about Yachzir Panav. They each turn away from each other, and are they allowed to recite Kriyat Shema? And here's Rabbi Yehuda's response. Amar Lei, Hachi Amar Shmuel. Shmuel says it's Muta Afilu Ishto Imo. And if we take it literally, it means Afilu Ishto Imo, that even though he and his wife are naked in the same bed, then there's a heter of Machzir Panov, and they would still be allowed to recite Kriyat Shema. So the Gemara asks the following kasha on Shmuel. Maskifle Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef asks Rav Yehuda on Shmuel, who said afilu ishto, which implies that it's mutter in ishto. and he says Velomi boy acher. It goes without saying that if Shmuel was matir in a case where he and his wife are naked in the bed, and you could still recite Kriyat Shema under those circumstances, conditions, meaning that it's yet machzir panov, then acher. Then it goes without saying that acher would certainly be mutter, because ishto imo is more chomer as far as Kriyat Shema. There's more of a hirhur. And if it's mutter in that case, then certainly it would be mutter in another case. And that was the logic that we were presenting until now, that ishto is more of a problem of hirhur than acher. I assume acher here means two men. And the Gemara says, Adarabba, that we should have the following logic. Ishto kigufo, acher lav kigufo. Now, exactly how ishto kigufo applies here is a bit of a challenge, because normally ishto kigufo has halachic significance as far as perhaps the din of busha, right? That in terms of chovel b'chavero, there's a whole sugya ksubis about mevayishes ishto, that the husband has rights to collect the boshes of his wife, because ishto kigufo, they're like one body. We have other dinim of ishto kigufo, maybe even in Ner Chanukah, you have to check that out. And we have a shita of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel in Bechoros about Nemonim b'nei beso shel kohen lomar al Bechoros shir al bomum me'elov milvad ishto kemen she ishto kegufo. We have another sugi of nishbeis ishto yochalif dosa yosem mikidei domeo, because ishto kegufo. These are many different dinim of ishto kegufo. However, those dinim have to do with either being machshir or being posel. Adam Karvetzel Atzmo, Adam Karvetzel Ishto. Those are the sugyas. Here, the Gemara is using the phrase Ishto Kigufo, I think, as a borrowed term. And what it means is that Ishto Kigufo, he's Rogilba, he's used to her, and therefore there's less of a chashash, no reason to be afraid of Hirhur. And that's the impression you get from Rashi, Dibra Maschil Ishto. However, many of the Achronim are upset about this Rashi. It doesn't make sense to say that the difference between Ishto and Acherim is Mitzad Hirhur. Because, for example, in his own male children, let's say, or other males, it doesn't seem that there would be a Chashash Hirhur. So what does it mean that, well, if Ishto is Mutter, well, you can't say that certainly others would be Mutter. Why? Because in Ishto, there's no chashash hirhur, but in others, there is a chashash hirhur. It doesn't make sense to say that there would be a chashash hirhur with regard to other zecharim. Again, I'm talking back in the time of the Gemara. Today, I don't know what goes on. That's a different contemporary society. But in any event, that's the metzias that the Gemara is aware of. The Rashba says that there's a lashon of tirda, which means that a person, when he's with another male, let's say naked, he's a little bit confused. Tirda means he's not able to single-mindedly focus on his Kriyat Shema and Ishto. He's not so tarud, and he's able to clear his mind and focus on Kabbalah's O Malchus Shemayim. So there's a question here about whether Rashi really meant it, and whether the Girsan Rashi is correct, and we're talking about Hirhur here, and since it's Ishto Kigufo Rogilba, there's not a Chashash of Hirhur, as opposed to Adam Acher, which is Lav Kigufo, and therefore there's more of a Chashash Hirhur. That's what we have in our Rashi, but trust me, there are other ways of writing and reading the Rashi. In any event, Rav Yosef is of the opinion that if you're going to be Matir im Ishto, the reading of Kriyat Shema, the implication is that with another person in the bed, it would be asur. And this is a kasha on Shmuel, because Shmuel seemed to assume that afilu ishto imo is mutter, and then certainly acher imo is mutter. We came to the conclusion logically the opposite is correct, that ishto kigufo, and therefore that's a heter, but acher is lav kigufo, should be also. Now the Gemara is going to add another kashan shmuel from another brisa. Shnayim sheyishenim b'mita achas, zem achzir ponu v'korei, zem achzir ponu v'korei. So we have one brisa that says that two people are under a blanket with one, both naked in one bed. They can turn each the other way around, face the outside of the bed, not towards each other, and they can each read Kriyat Shema. But Tanach Rit, we have another brisa that says Ayosha Bemita Ubanov Ubnei Beso Betzido, his naked sons or his naked children are next to him under the bed. Hareza Lo Yikra Kriyat Shema. In other words, you're not allowed to read Kriyat Shema if there's no hefsek between you and your children, naked under a blanket in a bed. Elon Kane Hoysa Talis Mafsekes Beinehu. They have to set up a talis as a hefsek, and only then are they allowed to read Kriyat Shema. And perhaps that hefsek would be enough without Hachzaras Panim. That's what seems to be indicated by the Beis Yosef and Archaim Simonai and Gimel. V'imhoyu Bonavu B'nei Beiso K'tanim Mutar. That if his children are in the bed naked, he's allowed to read Kriyat Shema. He doesn't even need a talis mafsekes b'nei. I mean, this is against the first brisa that said that shneim sheyishenu b'mita achas zemach zeparim zekarav zosa. Let's just go over the theory one more time. That in the second brisa, it would seem that leaving out the exception to the rule of bonav b'nei beso k'tanim, in a general sense, you need a talis mafsekes. The first brisa seems to indicate that zemachzer, part of zemachzer, possibly you don't even need a talis hamafsekes, which was a precondition for the heter in the second brisa. And the Gemara says the following: Bishleim l'Rav Yosef lo kasha. According to Rav Yosef, not a stira, because Rav Yosef was of the opinion that when it's he and his wife together, then dafka in that case it's mutalikros. But if it's somewhere else where you don't have Kegufo, it's lav kegufo, then there's more of a chashash here and it's us, and then we can reconcile this theory between these two brises. Ha, the brise that says that two people under the bed are allowed to read Kriyat Shema, that's be'ishto. That's referring to he and his wife. Vahan, the brise says that you must have, as a precondition to be mate Kriyat Shema, a hefsek talis be'neim, that's be'acher, that's somebody other than his wife, where we said lav kegufo, and therefore there's more of a chashash hirhu. El Shmuel, but according to Shmuel, we don't have the luxury of that reconciliation because Shmuel was matir even b'chol adam is kasha. How do we reconcile the stira? Why does one brisa require a hefsek talis b'neiyah? Amar l'cha Shmuel, the Gemara says Shmuel can answer. Rav Yosef Minicha, he would first contort and say, I tell you what, I'm not sure that you have a simple reconciliation, even according to Rav Yosef. Tanya, we have a brisa that says, Hayayoshem b'mita, ubanav, ubnei beso, b'mita, lo yikra kriyat shma, ela imkein hoysa taliso mafsekes b'neihem. So it means that according to this brisa, ishto is included together with b'nei beso. And here too we're requiring a talis hamafsekes b'neim. Now, Rav Yosef said that in the case of Ishto Imo, it's mutter to read Kriyat Shema as long as they turn the other ways. He didn't require a hefsek talis. And here in this brisa, clearly it says that even in the case of Ishto, he needs a hefsek talis. And again, this is all based on the premise, as Rashi points out, Dirmaskel Hoya, that Ishto is bichlal b'nei beso. Tosis in Dibra Maskava Sanya, he's not sure where do you find elsewhere that Ishto is considered is called B'nei Beso. So Tosis has to come up with a different interpretation in the name of Rav Rav Yosef about a different brisa where it says explicitly Hayayoshem B'mita V'Ishto Yishena Imo. But in any event, whether we take Rashi or Tosis, it's clear that the Gemara saw in this brisa and Shmuel was pointing it out that even in Ishto we need Talis Mafsek, because that's difficult according to Rav Yosef. Elamai Islan L'meimar. According to Rav Yosef, what are you going to have to say to understand this brisa? Ishto l'Rav Yosef tanoi. He's going to have to admit, Rav Yosef, that Ishto is a machlokas between two brisos. That even if legabe shar b'nei odom, according to Rav Yosef, there is no machlokas because shar b'nei odom is lav kegufo, and therefore it's asur. But with regard to Ishto, there are going to be two brisos. The first brisa that was matir would say that in Ishto, it's mutter because he's ragil and there's no chash hirhur. The second brisa says it's asur. Rav Yosef himself paskins like the first brisa, says the Gemara, that if you take this approach, then this methodology, then even Shmuel could reconcile these two brisos without upslugging his shita. Even according to my shita, we're going to have a machlokas tanoim, which is going to extend to both ishto and shar b'nei adam, and the tanoim are going to argue about this. So I'm going to give the same answer like Rav Yosef, that there's a machlokas here in the brisos, a machlokas tanoim. And when I said that's mutar im kol adam, that even kol adam is mutar, in other words, I don't see that this is lav kegufo, and therefore there's more of a hergel and a chashash hirhur, I'm going to say that there's a machlokas between the brisos that includes both ishto and shar b'nei adam. The first bris is matir both in ishto and shar b'nei adam, and that would reflect the shita of Shmuel. And the second bris that says it's asur, that would asur bein b'ishto bein b'shar b'nei adam, and I accept the first bris. Now the Gemara addresses the following words in the braisa. It says, Zemachzir Panov. And the Gemara is a little bit bothered by what's called agavos. Agavos means the backsides, the rumpus, that is, both backsides are now touching each other, and that itself should be an erva. Now the question is whether agavos is an erva. So how does Machzir Panov help you if you have the touching of agavos? Omar Ma, we learned in the braisa that if two people are sleeping naked in a bed, Zemachzir Panov Kore Kriyachma, etc., Zemachzir Panov Litzadach Vekore Kriyachma, and therefore there's no negia of their erva. Frank the Gemara, I don't understand. Va'ika agavos. The Gemara thinks that agavot is also an erva. So since that no gim said there should be an iser kriyat shema because the negia is erva, how could they allow him to read kriyat shema? The Gemara answers, Messiah leil Rav Huna, the Omer Rav Huna agavos ein lahem mishum erva. That agavos do not have the status of an erva. So the Gemara offered one proof from the first price, and now we're going to get to the second price to prove the shita of Rav Huna, that agavos ein behem mishum erva, the fact that machzir panov is enough for kriyat shema. Lema mesayela, can we bring a second price as a second riler of Huna? And in this case, we're learning the Mishnah in Chala, ha'isha yosheves v'kotzala chalos aruma. She's being mafrish chala when she's naked, and she make the bracha on the chala. Even though she's naked, she can make the bracha. Mitnei sheichol lechasos paneha, she can cover herself from the front, bikarka, by sitting down. Avaloa ish. But in the case of a man, he cannot recite the bracha when he's naked, even if he's sitting, because his erva will not be covered through yeshiva. But we see clearly that as far as the din of arum, of nakedness, for a bracha is concerned, everything depends upon the erva that's megula mechusa. In the case of an isha, when she sits down, her erva is covered, even though her agavos are exposed. She's allowed to make the bracha. And we see from here that agavos are bechlal erva, are not included in erva, and that would prove the shita of Rav Huna. And the Gemara rejects this by saying, Tirgumah Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak Kegon Shalyu Paneha Tochos Bekarka. That it could be that she's so tzavut, she's so davuk, she's connected to the karka to the second extent that even her agavos are covered. And then she's allowed to make the bracha. But this would not be a sufficient proof that the agavos are not included in erva. And, you know, it could be possible that the bracha of chala might have a special din. It would not be indicative of a universal din. And that would be based on the fact that chala is not a full-fledged mitzvah. That's a big chakir in the achronim. What is the nature of chala? Whether it's just a matir, and we make a bracha on a matir because there's a kiyuma mitzvah, or is hafrashas chala a classic mitzvah that requires a bracha? Maybe the requirement of bracha on a matir is different than the requirement of bracha on a mitzvah, on a straightforward mitzvah. In any event, the language of tuchos indicates that there is a total submersion, and there's nothing sticking out. Now we explained the Gemara based on the Meiri, based on the Rash in his interpretation of the Mishnah Chala, that Rav Nachman, when he says Kigon Shayu Poneh Tuchos, what he meant was that it should cover the Agavos, and therefore the Gemara rejected a proof to Rav Huna. But the Gon writes in the Shita of the Rambam that the Rambam doesn't have the words in the Gemara Lema Misayela as a question, Ela Misayela, meaning it's Vada, it's not a question, but it's a definite statement. And where Rav Nachman says Kigon Shayu Poneh Tochos the Karka, that's a separate comment to explain that she has to cover the erva. And since it's Paneh Tochos Bekarka, therefore it's Mechasa the erva, therefore she can make the bracha. But Ein Bekach Lechasos Agvoseha, in other words, Agvoseha remain Megulos. And Rav Nachman was not addressing Agavos at all, which means that there still is a proof of Huna that as long as it's Tuchos and she covers the front, that's enough to remove the erva problem. So we're still left with a raya, and therefore instead of lema misayele, it should be misayele. Leave out the word lema, so it's vadai. And Rav Nachman is pointing out that as far as li milafanov, milafneha, which is called paneha, she has to have tochos. She has to have tuchos, which means a total covering. But as far as the agavos is concerned, there's no need to cover it. In any event, we certainly paskin, according to the Rambam, that agavos ein behem mishum erva. However, the Beis Yosef in Or Chaim Siman Samach Vav paskins that agavos yesh behem mishum erva. And he says that that would reflect Rav Nachman, who says that tzricha lios paneh tuchos bekarka means that she has to cover agavos as well. And that's the way the Beis Yosef has it, and the Gemara rejects the Raya, and the Gemara assumes that she needs Tuchos Bekarka to even cover the Agavos. The Chazon Ish says that it would seem from the Meiri and the Shita Mekubetzes that there is a distinction between Agavos on the back and the part on the front, between Megulos and Nogos. And they say that Megulos is also Likros Kriyat Shema Kenegdan. However, as far as Negiah is concerned, that's not considered Erva. And he explains that from the Braisa that allows you to read Kriyat Shema, when you Machzer Ponov, we can prove that Agavos Ein Behem Mishum Erva as far as Negiah is concerned. Rav Huna says that even as far as Likros Kenegdan, when the Megulos Ein Behem Mishum Erva, the Gemara tried to unsuccessfully bring a proof for Rav Huna from the Mishnah in Chala, that even as far as Gilui is concerned, Ein Behem Mishum Erva, the Gemara rejects that proof, and therefore it's possible Paneh Tuchos Bekarka means that she covers her Agavos, and therefore the Maskon, as far as Gilui is concerned, it would seem that the Gemara's final conclusion is Yesh Behem Mishum Erva, and the Gemara rejects Rav Huna based on Rav Nachman. However, as far as Negiah is concerned, there's no erva of Negiah for Agavos if everything is concealed, if nothing is exposed, and that we had a proof from the Braisa. But as we said earlier, the Rambam paskins like Rav Huna, and the Gaon's Girsa was Misayele, and the Maskona. And even the Maskona Sasugi, we do have a proof from the Mishnah and Chala for Rav Huna, and that's why the Rambam paskins like Rav Huna that Agavos ein behem mishum erva. That's the Rambam in the third perek of Kriyat Shema. The Rambam in Hilchas Brachas perek Aleph paskins that Oisham of Reches Kshiyamuma Tzrichas Yu Paneh Tuchos Bekarka, which is really interesting because the Rambam's emphasis on Paneh would seem to be Lishitoso, indicative of the fact that we paskin like Rav Huna as far as Agavos is concerned, Ein Behem Mishum Erva. And this is the way the Chazon Ish seems to interpret the Rambam, that when Rav Nachman says, Tzarech Shiyu Tuchos Poneh Bekarka for Kisui Erva, he doesn't require Kisui the Agavos, but if she has Tuchos Poneh Bekarka, then perhaps that's sufficient. Or alternatively, you could interpret that according to Rav Nachman, Tuchos Bekarka means Memela, even our Agavos are are covered, and therefore the Gemara rejects the proof from the Mishnah to Rav Huna. But in any event, there's no raya against Rav Huna, and therefore we should assume that we have a proof to Rav Huna from the Braisa that says Korei es hashma al yidei shemachzer panov. Because if the agavos would be an erva, then it wouldn't be sufficient to be machzir ponov, and therefore the Rambam paskins like Rav Huna, and agavos ein behem mishum erva. There's a long discussion based on Yerushalmi and Chala that seems to also indicate that agavos ein behem mishum erva, and perhaps that would be achra lahalacha. Because if in our sugya in the Talmud Bavli, the Gemara doesn't come to any conclusion here about Rav Huna, but it could be in the light of Yerushalmi, the Gemara says that although we don't have a raya for Rav Huna, but it's possible, because it's possible that we're talking about a case of agavoseh mechusos, but nevertheless, the Yerushalmi seems to conclude that agavos ein bahem mishum erva. Now the Gemara has a discussion about ketanim, which we saw in the Braisa Omer Mar, based on the Braisa before we had im hoyu banov ubnei beso ketanim mutar, that you're allowed to read Kriyat Shema even though your young children are naked in the same bed, even without a talis mafsekes beinam. So the Gemara clarifies v'ad kama, until what age is a katan allowed to be exposed and there's no erev as far as Kriyat Shema is concerned. Amar Rav Chisda Tinokus, in the case of a female bas shol shan v'yomechet, up to her third birthday plus a day, the tinok, in the case of a young boy, ben teisha shanim v'yom echad. And this year is indicative of what's called roi lebia, b'yosam bia. And that is a doraisa halacha, that a katan ben tes has a bia, and for that we have to know the sugya of chetzia shivcha chetzia bas chorin, which is called the shivcha charufa. And once the child, this young boy, was 9 years old, there would be a chiyuv of a carbon asham of a shivcha charufa, means he's roi lebia, and that's a doraisa halacha. Rashi, however, seems to assume that basholoshia means that that's the shir when she's bar bechlal soros erva v'shadayim nechona, which would mean adam is avalahem, and that's why in this context it's an erva. That could be for our females an older age. If you're careful about Rashi, you'll see that Rashi's comment is not on this first lashon. There's a second lashon. Let's go through the second lashon. Ikad di amri, there are those who say in the name of Rav Chisda that it's tinokos bas achasas rei shana v'yom echad, v'tinok ben shtemes rei shana v'yom echad. So it's not 3 and 9, but rather it's 11 and 12. So we're not talking about the halachic status of roi lebia, but rather what we're discussing is, as we say, a physical, biological manifestation of maleness and femaleness, which Rashi identifies as sa'aros erva, shadayim nechonu, the adam is avalehem. So this is not part of the halacha, which is more of a chalos din of roi lebia and a maisa bia alpidin, but rather we're talking about erva and herhure erva. So if the child is, in a case of a female, below 11, in a case of a male, below 12, then the biological system that has to do with taiva and erva and so forth and so on, with all the herhurim and the taiva that we mentioned, that hasn't yet kicked in until a later age, a much later age. Idi v'idi, whether or not it's a female at the age of 11 or male at the age of 12, ad kidei shadayim nachonu usarech simeach, apostkin yechezkel. In other words, until the simonim of narus, of maturation and puberty, appear on the body, b'seir erva and shadayim nachonu, as we said in the name of Rashi, and then there's taiva. If they haven't yet shown these simonim, then you're allowed to read Kriyat Shema. And it seems from the Rush that before this period of time, let's say in the case of a girl who's less than 11 or a boy who's less than 12 years old, even if they have the simonim, they were precocious, they were biologically advanced beyond their ages, that's not anything. In other words, we have a shear of Zman, and that was set up here in the second edition of Rav Chisda as 11 and 12. And at that point, we have an Iser of Erva and a reading, an Iser of reading Kriyat Shema. If a Nara, on the other hand, is already past that age, then even if the girl reached the age of 11 and the boy reached of 12, if they were a little bit behind schedule and they haven't yet shown the simonim in such a case, then there would be no erva. But as a general rule, we assume that once they reach that age, it's erva. And it could very but possibly be that if she reached the age of 12, which is already considered a Nara, and he the age of 13, which is godless for a man, then in such a case, automatically, no matter what the development of the body is biologically, that would engender an Iser Erva. But again, if we're talking about a girl who's less than 11, a boy who's less than 12, even if they brought the simonim, then we have an issue here as to whether or not there would be an Iser Erva. The Rush is of the opinion that there's no Iser Erva before this age, as we mentioned earlier, but after this age, once she reaches... Now, if we go one step further, she reaches godless of Shtemisrei, and Anar reaches the age of Bar Mitzvah of Shloshisrei, then even if the biological simonim have not yet manifested themselves, they have a din of a gadol and also likros imayim. That's the Rush in Simon Lamed He. The Gemara now clarifies what's the din lahalacha with regard to two people sleeping in a bed. Amalei Rav Kahana l'Rav Ashi Hosam, we saw before on Daf Chav Gimel Amid Beis, as far as the Iser of Tefillin is concerned, whether you put the Tefillin under your head or not, and Shmuel said that you're allowed to even in Ishto Imo. Amar Rav Afal Gavde Tiyuvta de Shmuel Hilchasa Kavose de Shmuel, we paskin like Shmuel even despite the fact that there was a price against Shmuel. Hacha, here in the din of two people sleeping naked in a bed, and Shmuel said Muta Likros Kriyat Shema, even if it's Ishto Imo, my, what's the final halacha? Omar Le Rav Ashi responded to Rav Kahana, Otu Kula Bechada Machta Machtinon. Do you really feel that we are all stitched up in one woven beged? In other words, just because in one particular halacha we paskin like Shmuel against the Braisa, despite the Tiyuvta, does that mean that in all dinim we're going to make it into Miksha Achas, into one uniform halacha? So just because we paskin like Shmuel before in the first issue, and that was the issue with regard to putting tefillin under your head, even when, so we'll be making it like Shmuel in terms of putting the tefillin under his head in those conditions that we discussed, even though he's naked, but we won't. El hech de itmar itmar, vehech de lo itmar lo itmar. In other words, we don't have a psak halacha like Shmuel in the second halacha with regard to being mekil as far as nakedness under the blanket is concerned. Here we're going to be more machmir.